Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
Aren't you glad we serve a God of new beginnings? Would you say amen to that? Amen. Hey, if you would pull out your message notes that are inside of your worship guide this morning, as I do, let me ask you this question. So how are you starting 2018? How's it going, right? 7 days in, we're up and running, and this is a year, I believe, where we have opportunity for new beginnings, for a fresh start in so many ways in each of our lives. And I want to take a few minutes to talk about that before I jump into our primary passage, which is in the book of Acts. We're going to be studying through the book of Acts here in the first few weeks of this year. But I want to ask you to first turn to Zechariah chapter 4 to kind of just lay the foundation for some things. Again, beginnings are so important. And again, the beginning of a year is great because I think, while, you know, it's all it is a calendar, I think for many of us there is this sense that, wow, I can kind of start some things fresh in so many areas of my life. And I really believe this, that how you start things really does matter. Whether it's how you start a year, how you start in a new job, how you start in a relationship, that how you start, how you begin really does make a difference. I think this is true even in sports. I remember a number of years ago, I was running in a race. I hadn't run in a race since I was a kid, and now I was in my mid-20s, maybe upper 20s, and I was running in a race in Colorado. And we lived in an area called Grand Junction, which was about around a 4,000-foot elevation, 4,500 feet or so. And we went over to Denver, which is the Mile High City, to run in this race. And my father-in-law actually was running in it with me as well. And so we got out there early this morning. It was one morning, and it was the Rocky Mountain Half Marathon, and had all these races going on. And so we were all gathered around at this at the start. And I hadn't even looked at the course. You know, I was still going on, you know, this whole, you know, I'm an athlete. I've done a lot of running. And, you know, I thought, I got this, you know. And so the starting gun goes off, and we're running. And I'm a bull. I'm out there. I'm in the front group. Me and like three other guys are leading everybody. You know, I'm just like, check me out, right? And I'm just like, I'm cruising. But I hadn't accounted for two things. I hadn't accounted for the incline that was around this corner, and I didn't adjust for it. And so I'm running up this hill and didn't even hardly realize it till I was halfway up the hill, about a mile and a half or two into this race. And I'm like, and I hadn't also accounted for the fact that I was at a higher elevation now. So all of a sudden, I'm starting to just suck wind, and now people are passing me left and right. I mean, by the end of the race, this is how bad it was. I'm getting to the finish line. I look over, and there's like this 12-year-old kid, right? I'm like sprinting to the finish line, like shoving him aside, you know, like, get out of my way. You know, I'm just trying to beat out this 12-year-old kid. And I finished the race, but I learned, and I learned something afresh that day, that how you start matters. Because how you start sets the course for the rest of the race. In fact, how you start really will begin to develop this rhythm that will determine whether or not you have momentum that can carry you through to finish well. In fact, that's what I want us to be thinking about over the course of these next few weeks, is how we start this year. How can we start this year in a way that will help us develop a momentum that helps us be victorious in 2018. Whatever dimension of your life you may look at right now, and you might go, man, my spiritual life has just been struggling, just been stuck, or maybe in my marriage, or some relational, maybe relationship with my kids, maybe in my job, whatever area you'd look at. But I want us to give attention to how we start this year And as we think about this notion, I want us to look here in Zechariah chapter 4, because I think he really gives us some incredible insights about getting off to a good start. So Zechariah chapter 4, starting in verse 6, it says this. It says, "Then he said to me," and this is Zechariah talking here, he said, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. "It is not by force, nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, 'May God bless it! May God bless it!'" Then another message came to me from the Lord, saying, "Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that he, the Lord of heaven's armies, has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." So there's this vision to the prophet Zechariah, and he's asking God for clarity about it. He's asking for clarity, and God begins to speak to him about Zerubbabel and how he had called Zerubbabel to rebuild this temple. Now, this temple that he's asking him to rebuild had been lying in ruins for approximately 20 years. So it's just lying there, and God comes and says, "It's time to rebuild what is broken. It's time to raise it up. I have set myself to do a new thing. It's time for a new beginning," God is saying. "It's time for a fresh start." Again, as you look at your life, you may recognize an area where you go, "Man, it's like things are just in ruins right now. Things are not where I need them to be. There is not momentum in this area of my life. I am stuck, and it is not good." And for many of us, we don't know. We go, "God, how is this going to happen? How are you going to rebuild this broken area of my life?" And that's where we look at this, and I believe that we can learn some incredible things about how God's work can be accomplished in our lives. And so as you think about that area of your life right now, and you're going, "God, I want this year to be a new beginning in this area of my life. I want to see you rebuild and do a new work in this area of my life." Here's a couple of things that you need to learn in order for that to happen. If you're taking notes, the first is this. You've got to recognize, first of all, that God's work happens by God's power. See, God's work happens by God's power. And the temptation that Zechariah was facing, in fact, in the chapter before this, he was looking at purity in his own life as being the key to seeing God's work happen. And so basically it had to do with, if I do all the right things, then it's going to work out. And what God is saying, no, it's not by what you can do. It's not by your might. It's not by your power. It's not by your ability. It's by what I can do. It's what my spirit is showing up in your life. That's what's going to accomplish the work. And I know this seems maybe for some of you, if you've been around church, you go, yeah, I know. But how many of us know that while we may know that intellectually, how we live that out is a completely different thing? Because we are notorious control freaks. We are notorious for thinking, in fact, I just talked to a couple people before the service that they're going, "I'm trying to plan everything out, and if I maybe can plan a little bit better, then it's all going to work out." And I hate to break it to you, but you ain't that smart and you ain't that special. But God with you is able to do exceedingly more than you could ever ask or imagine. And so God's work happens by God's power. And the sooner you embrace that, the sooner breakthrough can happen in your life. Here's the second thing, though. God's work happens by tending to humble beginnings. God's work happens by tending to those humble beginnings. So he says, don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise humble beginnings. This is the key here. Don't ignore where you start. Now, recognize that that laying the foundation and where you start is so important. And I think this is so important because it's easy for us to get discouraged in the beginning when things aren't yet where we want them to be. It's so easy. Yesterday, I'm the coach of the New Life Christian School Middle School Boys Rams basketball team. We are 7-0 and taking the world by storm, baby. And it's because they have a masterful coach, I know. But we had a little team building day yesterday. So we went over to Adventure Park to play some laser tag. And so we get over there and I'm like, I'm going to take these kids out. We get there, 14 of us, and it ranks you. I was 14th out of 14 in the first game. It was horrible. I mean, I was so embarrassed. But I, you know what? I didn't despise small beginnings. I kept, I studied the course, and I was figuring out how to play this thing. By the end, our number one player was this little, 3-foot kid on our team named Logan Koo. He'd just go around, and you couldn't even hit him because he'd just crawl underneath your legs, you know? But but by the end, I was second out of everybody because I can't give you all the secrets, so you know, because I may play laser tag against you, so I got to hold on to some of these things. But I found the perfect spot, and I could hear kids, "Who keeps killing me?" Yeah, it's the American sniper right here, baby. Boom, 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 boom. I was just taking him out. I figured it out. So don't despise humble and small beginnings. You know, learn from things. Learn from things. Pay attention to what. Don't get discouraged when things aren't starting out how you hope. Continue to take it each day in stride and go, God, teach me something new today. Don't despise, because here's what happens. If we despise those beginnings, then what can happen is we get discouraged and we miss this next part. Because for many of us, here's what happens. We despise small beginnings and we give up. We give up. We give up on relationships. We give up on people. We give up on jobs. We just run away. When things aren't going how we hope, then we just, I'm out of here. And we miss out on what God wants to do. Because here's the next part. This is the most, it all builds on each part. So God's work happens by God's power. Be confident of that. Second of all, recognize that, pay attention to those small and humble beginnings. But here's the third thing. This is the key in the environment here that describes in this picture that of the bringing out of the capstone. He says that they brought out the capstone. Now the capstone, some people mistakenly think that that's the cornerstone, that that's like the part in the foundation, but it's not. The capstone is actually the last part you put on. It's the part of the very end. So now that the thing is almost done, the temple's almost done, now they bring out the capstone. So, I mean, like the rebuilding work is about done. And yet there's something in the environment that as this work is being completed, there's something very important that's going on. That the people are shouting these words in unity. They're shouting, God bless it. God bless it. There's an environment of blessing that's taking place over what God is doing. And see, here's the third part that you've got to catch here, is that God's work happens through an environment of blessing. So the environment of blessing is you look at your life. I want you to think about what area are you tempted to be discouraged over right now? Because whatever area you're tempted to be discouraged over, the temptation is going to be to, rather than speak blessing over it, is to speak cursing over it. Or in other words, to speak whining over it. That's my thing. I am the king of whining. And I remember a number of years ago, there was a situation in my life where I was depressed. I was depressed. I was in my office. I was just discouraged about something. And I read this verse, and God said, you want to know why you're not seeing breakthrough there? Because you're not speaking blessing over it. If you keep whining about that person, if you keep whining about that situation, it's going to take you out. But if you speak blessing, I'll show up in ways you never imagined. Can I tell you, I started praying blessing every day. Our church doubled in size within 2 years. And I don't think it was because I was doing anything different. I believe it was because there was an environment of blessing. I've taught this to so many people through the years. I've seen hundreds of thousands of debt erased in people's lives because of the environment of blessing. I've seen people healed. I've seen relationships healed and restored. And I believe in so many situations it has to do with the environment of blessing. See, God's work happens when people are reliant on his power, when they are, when they're tending to those humble beginnings, they're not ignoring those things, and ultimately they're speaking God's blessing over situations. And see, as we look into this upcoming year, again, we want to see momentum. We want to see God begin to do a work that will carry us through victoriously through the finish line. That we'll see things restored in our lives that we never thought possible. And we see that, in fact, in the book of Acts. We're gonna be looking and studying the book of Acts. In fact, I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 1. We're calling this year as a church a year of much grace. It's a year, in fact, it talks about in Acts chapter 4. I'll read these verses to you. But it describes how it says that all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own. They shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There was this environment of blessing that they weren't whining. There was a spirit of generosity. They were caring for one another, and God was showing up and doing amazing, amazing things. And I believe that God wants that for the New Life Church family. I believe God wants that for your family. I believe that God wants that for your life personally with him. He wants this to be a year of much grace, where you see great breakthrough, where you see him show up in ways that you've never seen him show up before. But it means that we've got to be people that are tending to these things in the beginning. We've got to be tending to the environment of blessing. We've got to be tending to the humble beginnings. We've got to be declaring our reliance upon his power. And I believe that we'll see a book of Acts. We'll see our church start to resemble more and more the church that we read about in those days. Humble beginnings make the way for the momentum of God's blessing. Humble beginnings make the way for the momentum of God's blessing. And so I want to pray here as we open the book of Acts. And I want to just welcome God this morning if we could. Lord, right now as we dig into your word a little bit more today, I pray for each of us that we would have this ability, Lord, to start to look upward. Lord, to begin to see your power and your ability and what you're able to do, and that, Lord, that we would be a people indeed that would bring an environment of blessing in our families, in our community, Lord, in our church, Lord, in our world, and that we would see you show up. And so we pray this morning you would continue to teach us how to do that today, how to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. So Acts chapter 1 is where I'm going to start. Acts 1, verse 1. He says this. He says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach." So the author here of this book, the book of Acts, is a guy named Luke. And his former book is called Luke. Pretty creative title, right? And he was one of the disciples, and he had this desire to link up with Paul and to be a part of what God was doing. And so Luke was a doctor. And in those days, doctors were a little bit different. And many theologians believe that doctors, in a lot of ways, were almost kind of like slaves. Like they, especially when it came to the high up people in that society, they would almost have slaves that would be like their token, you know, they would work for them, and that they would. And so Luke's kind of slave owner, although, you know, some scholars won't necessarily come right out and call him a slave, but he had kind of this dominion in Luke's life, and his name was Theophilus. And he became aware of Luke's desire to be free and to be able to go and serve Paul and be a part of this work that God was doing. And so he gave him this freedom, but Luke didn't forget. And he had this desire to see Theophilus come to faith. And so he wrote this letter, these letters, the descriptions of what was going on, what Jesus had done. And now this book that we know is the book of Acts, he's writing it for him as well. And I want you to keep in mind that Luke, as he was writing, he didn't know that he was writing portions of the Bible. He was writing a letter for someone that he cared about, someone that he had this desire that Theophilus would come to know the greatness of Jesus in his own life. And here's the thing. Luke understood the power of the one. You know, he wasn't writing this letter for the masses. He had Theophilus on his mind. And I think he learned this from Jesus. I think he watched Jesus stop for the one. He cared about individuals. He cared about people. And so as we think about what do these humble beginnings look like? What does it look like to tend to humble beginnings in a way that would welcome the momentum of God's blessing in our lives? I think as we start out in the book of Acts, what we see right away is that if you and I want to see that happen, it means that we've got to have a people priority. That to tend to the humble beginnings in your life and mine means that I have a people priority. You know, I think so often we get so caught up in just doing our thing that we miss people. That God's constantly bringing a people across our path and into our lives. And the question is, are we seeing them? Are we valuing them? We constantly have these interruptions that happen, right? We had an interruption on Christmas Day. On Christmas morning, my family, we're sitting there, we're opening presents and, you know, and just kind of enjoying the day. And all of a sudden, it's about 9 a.m. or so, we hear the doorbell ring. That weird. Yeah, we're not expecting anyone. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, maybe it's just like the FedEx guy, like dropping off a package. I don't know. I didn't know they were working, but whatever. Anyway, but McKenna jumps up and she runs over to the door to see what it was. And so I'm still sitting there in the living room, and all of a sudden I hear this man's voice talking, like, and I can hear it louder and louder, and he's like in our house. And so I jump up, and I'm, you know, all these things are going through my mind, like, is this an Alzheimer's patient? Is this a criminal? Like, what is going on? And I come around the corner, and there's this guy standing there. And I just look at him, and I'm like, I don't know you. And he says, I don't know you. And he said, is this the Montgomery's house? And I said, no, they're two houses down. And it was this like awkward moment, but finally I didn't know what to say. I just said, well, Merry Christmas. And he just kind of says, can you not tell Craig about this? And obviously we had a good laugh, but you know, there's these interruptions that happen in our lives, right? These people that show up in our lives, whether it's, you know, throughout your day, throughout your week. And I think what we've got to be so careful about is that we don't get so stuck in my thing and what I'm doing that we don't miss people. See, if we are going to tend to these humble beginnings, and if we're going to be people that are able to welcome the momentum of God's blessing, we've got to have this people priority. What if we were to start seeing every interruption as an opportunity? The grocery store clerk, the person in line that has 18 items, even though it says only 15. But what if we were to let go of those, you know, that, and I've been there, they have 18 items. But what if, rather than getting frustrated, we began to look for opportunities to be kind and show the love of God to them? And so, people, having a people priority. Now, I think in this, as Luke is writing this letter and writing these stories for his friend Theophilus, I think, again, he models for us why I believe, you know, I've heard so many people say, why isn't the church today like the church in the book of Acts? And first of all, I would say there are churches experiencing great revival and having great influence that are seeing thousands of people come to Christ monthly. And I mean, just that work is happening, and it can happen here and now. But I think one of the key X factors is that in those days, they didn't see people as an interruption. They saw people as an opportunity. They saw every encounter as an opportunity to show the love of Jesus. And so as it talks about in the book of Acts that they would see 3,000 and 4,000 people come to Christ at once. It wasn't because they had a great preacher. It's because they saw something different in the way that the Christians were loving each other and loving the world around them. They saw the people priority. So as we can take inventory in our own lives, let's ask ourselves, do I value people in that way? Let's continue in Acts chapter 1, though, in verse 2. It says, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, and after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus gives this command. He says, wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait for him. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is a command, right? This isn't a suggestion. This isn't Jesus saying, hey, if you don't have anything better to do, maybe you should just hang out in Jerusalem and see what happens. No, he says, wait in Jerusalem until what I've promised you shows up. Wait. And see, when it comes to doing well with our humble beginnings, as we begin this year, I think the next thing we've got to pay attention to is this. Do I submit to God's word? Because people who do well with humble beginnings and that are able to welcome the momentum of God's blessing, they submit to God's word. I think so often it's easy for us to, as we're reading through the Bible, you know, you kind of start to go, well, yeah, this one I really should take seriously. This one, I don't need to worry about that too much, you know. Or there's things along the way in our lives where we know that God has really made something clear to us, but then we start to kind of back off of it. Maybe God's shown you that, hey, I want you to pray for this person in your life, and then after a while you kind of get distracted and we kind of get discouraged, and then we stop praying for them. And the question is, did God really call you to do it or not? You know, and I'm not saying this to bring like guilt or condemnation on us as much as what I want us to do is to take seriously when God has commanded something in your life. And the place I look more than anything to find his commands are right here, right? That start with his word. And if you want to know what God's commanded you, read this and you'll find out. But when we submit to God's word and live in obedience to him, it welcomes the momentum and blessing in his life. Now, I know some people that, you know, will kind of wonder, well, does God speak to you? And yes, God speaks to us, and we can have a relationship with him. And so, you know, as you're praying each day, there's going to be things where God begins to maybe put something on your heart. But if you kind of wonder, well, how do I know if it's him or not? Well, start by asking yourself, does it confirm or contradict what Jesus has already commanded? Again, his word is the foundation. So I might steal your car and say, hey, God told me that I could have your car. But if it contradicts the commandment that says, thou shalt not steal, then, you know, there's a good chance that God didn't speak that to me. In fact, I can guarantee he didn't speak to me that I was supposed to have your car. I know it's a silly example, but I want us to take stock of our life. And here, again, if you want to begin anywhere, begin with those Ten Commandments. Begin to ask yourself, in fact, Jesus, when he was asked by someone, and the guy that came to him and said, well, which of the commandments is the greatest? What did he say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and what? Love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to start to submit to God's word in a way that will transform your life, just focus on that. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to start submitting to God's word, start there. And I believe if just that, I believe that you'll start to see great, great breakthrough. But again, as we submit our life to God's word, I want to encourage you, another step in that process is to be in his word. Around here, many of us use the Life Journal. We have some of those available back at our small group table. But as you have a daily practice of opening your Bible, and it'll give you this, you'll have the ability to discern his voice and to know what he's saying more and more. It's a familiarity. It's like children getting used to the voice of their father. My daughter McKenna, she's my only daughter. I love hanging out with her, but she knows that I can also be a little sarcastic sometimes. We have some kind of running jokes, and one of our things around the house, she always, if she hasn't seen Stacy for a little while, she'll come out and say, "Where'd mommy go?" And I don't know, a few years ago, for some reason, I answered the question one time by saying, "Oh, she went to a party." and she wasn't. She was just downstairs doing laundry or something. But McKenna was, "What?" So now, once I got a reaction, now every time she asked the question, "Where's mom?" "She's at a party," you know. And now she doesn't even listen to me. She's like, "Whatever, Dad," you know. She knows the voice of her father. She knows that I can be a sarcastic goofball sometimes. But aren't you thankful that God's not a sarcastic goofball? But my point is that the more you get to know him, the more you know his voice, the more you know his heart, and you get to trust him. And those days when you feel discouraged, and how many know there's going to be times where you have the voice of discouragement coming in? It's so important that we know the voice of our Father, and that as we submit to his word and as we're living, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to have days where we mess up. But to be able to come back to God, "I know your heart. I know that you love me, and I know what you've called me to do." And it's about being close to him. It's not about getting legalistic. Submitting to God's word is not about getting legalistic as much as it is that you'd say, "God, I want to submit to you not out of fear, but out of love. I know you love me, and I want to follow you, and I want to honor you with my life." One more section I want to show us here in verse 6 of Acts, as we continue reading there. It says, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth.'" The third humble beginning that welcomes the momentum of God's blessing is this. It's that I expect Jesus to show up. When I live my life with an expectation that Jesus is going to show up, as we start this year, my hope is that for each of us, we can have this kind of expectancy, that we're expecting Jesus to show up in our daily lives, that we're expecting Jesus to show up all around us. The disciples, again, they said, "Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? Are you going to fulfill your promise?" And Jesus said, "I know the timing. You don't need to worry about the timing. But just know this, that I'm going to show up and I'm going to give you all the power you need to finish the work, to do what I've called you to do." What Jesus was saying is, be confident, be expectant that I am going to do this work. You don't have to worry. Be expectant. As I was preparing for this, I was thinking about this and thinking about what does this look like? How do you live with expectancy? How do you live in a place where you're expecting Jesus to show up? And as I referred earlier to a situation in my life where I was feeling depressed and I was struggling, and even wondering, God, should I just give up? Should I just throw in the towel? And again, the Lord began to speak to me about praying blessing over situations and praying blessing over people. But can I tell you the other part of that? The other part of that was that really what he was saying to me is, be faithful. If you want to know how to live expectant that Jesus is going to show up, be faithful. What does it look like to be faithful? It means I wake up today and I do today the things that I know God's called me to do. That I pray over the people that I know he's called me to pray for. I love and I serve my wife and my kids, and I work hard and I do everything he's given me wholeheartedly. So I'm faithful today, then I'm faithful the next day, then I'm faithful the day after that, and then faithful after the day after that. And I'm faithful, I'm faithful, I'm faithful, I'm faithful, I'm faithful. And I'm faithful not because I'm trying to please him, but I'm faithful because I'm confident that he is going to show up. See, another way to describe this is that this faithfulness is the faithfulness of a farmer that goes out and he plants seeds in his field. He's faithfully sowing those seeds. Why? Because he's expectant that those seeds are going to grow up and bear a harvest. They will be a blessing to his family and be a blessing to his community. And so as we look at our lives, as you look at your life, let me ask you, what has God called you to sow seeds into? Are you being faithful today to sow seeds in a way that you can be expectant that God's going to show up? Faithful, faithful, faithful. As we're faithful, we can live with this confidence. Again, not that our power and our ability are anything great, but as we talked about in the beginning, that God has spoken to us and said, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit. So you can be faithful and trust me with the results. Trust me with the outcome. I'm going to ask you to set your Bibles aside this morning. And there's some in this room that I know today you're carrying burdens. You're carrying things that, and you'd say, I want to be faithful, but I feel so discouraged right now. I want to be faithful. I know God's called me to trust him in this situation, to pray for this thing, or to give in this way, or to serve in this way, and yet I feel so overwhelmed by it. I expectancy is like the furthest thing off of my radar right now. I'm afraid of what happens if something doesn't happen. And I don't want anyone here that may be feeling that way, I don't want you to be discouraged in that place. Instead, I want to encourage you today to bring those things before the Lord, to trust him, and that as you lay those things before his feet, that today can be a new beginning for you. That today can be a new beginning to trust him afresh. That in this year you will see breakthrough. In this year you will see him show up. In fact, this morning, if that's you, I want you to just put your hands out before the Lord like this. I'm not going to make a big show about it, but if you're one that would say, God, I'm opening to you today. I'm opening to a new expectancy in my heart. I'm opening to you that this year you would show up. And I just want you to put your hands out before him right now. And I just want to speak blessing over you today as our worship team comes up right now. I just want to do that. God, I just speak your blessing over each one today. Lord, as they open their hands before you and as they release fears, as they release those doubts, as they release those questions, as they release control, as they release, Lord, fear and insecurity, as they release those things before you, Lord, I pray today, Lord, that they would just receive, Lord, a spirit of encouragement. Lord, a spirit of encouragement that would give them the courage to take the next step of faithfulness today. And that in that faithfulness, Lord, their expectancy would grow. And that they would pray bigger prayers of faith, Lord, and they would become more bold in the way that they serve and more bold in the way that they love and more bold in the way that they give. And Lord, that as they continue to be faithful in the little things, Lord, that in these humble beginnings, that they would be the beginning of a great building work that you're doing in their life. And that, Lord, that as this year goes on, that there would be a momentum, Lord, that would carry them. A momentum, Lord, of your presence, Lord, that would carry them and supernaturally strengthen them to far surpass, Lord, their wildest imagination. Lord, that they would begin to run the race with victory, with strength. So, Lord, I just pray your grace and peace over each one today. Lord, I pray that there would be breakthroughs, Lord, in relationships and finances, Lord, and Lord, those that are struggling with addiction, that there would be freedom in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we just give God praise this morning and just thank him for his love?
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.